NYPD Blue Balls Season 1, Episode 11, From Hair to Eternity. Nailed it. Again, NYPD Blue, always nailing it. I'm Kirk, and...
I'm Kyle.
And we're here to talk about every episode of NYPD Blue. And in this episode, it opens up with people talking about a Christmas party.
Yeah, we're not on Christmas episode.
We're not on the main characters, we're on some lady with a, I think, a rabbit? No, she doesn't have the rabbit.
She seems like she is the teacher of a school or principal of a school that's coming to the police station, or like a foster home.
Or like the head of a program that they have.
Yeah, something, because she's all like jazzed that the cops are doing all this stuff for the kids, and then they're like, yeah, we're even going to have Santa there, and then they're like, oh, look, here comes Santa now, and it's Sipowicz, and he's not in a good mood.
And it's Sipowicz groaning. When you watch it with subtitles, all it is groan.
Yeah. He does that a lot, though.
He does that when he's annoyed. When you got annoyed Sipowicz, then you got groans. But anyway, we find out it's the Christmas party. Sipowicz is going to be Santa, and Medavoy is kind of the chihuahua of the episode, running around like trying to get everything set up for the kids.
Medavoy's super annoying again.
Oh, he's the comic relief in this episode, where he's like, "Hey, do you have the Santa suit?" And he's like, "No, I don't."
I was surprised that there was no one in that precinct when he got off the phone and was like, "Oh, I just scored." Because he ended up getting a bunch of free toys.
Uh-huh.
But he's basically, I just scored a bunch of free Space Invader dolls. And I'm surprised that no one in the station was like, what the fuck is that? Like, what is this Space Invader shit? Like, Paul Scheer brought that up on How Did This Get Made before with the Jingle All the Way episode, where movies make toys that kids would never buy or own.
Yeah.
TV shows do the same shit. Like, what the fuck is a Space Invader toy? Like, no kid's gonna be excited for that shit. This isn't what year is this? 95? Give me a Game Boy, bitch.
I'm pretty sure that was the advertising for Game Boy. Get me a Game Boy, bitch.
Where's my Slinky at?
Everyone loves a Slinky, Kyle.
And let's be honest, if those kids are in foster home, all they need is a Slinky. Like, give them a, how about this? Instead of getting a buttload of Space Invader toys, why don't you get a buttload of parents to adopt them? Like, you know? Sorry, anyways,
So the Christmas party's happening. Another thing that's happening is Fancy has the chief of D's in his office.
Hadville's a douche.
And Hadville, is it Hadville? Hadville? Did I write it?
Haverill.
I wrote it down here. Haverill. He's basically just trying to get rid of Fancy. And he's coming up with all these excuses to visit him.
He's black.
And we find out later it's because he's straight up black. But in this episode, there's no racism just yet. It's just him being a dick.
But so, you can kind of tell it's because he's black.
I couldn't tell it's because he's black. I thought he was just a dick and didn't want him in there anymore.
Come on.
Okay. Anyway, in the episode, basically the conversation they have is obvious that Haverill is making excuses just to visit him. Because even Fancy brings it up and says, last month it was this, the month before that it was this, and we both know those are fine and so is the thing we're talking about now, so you're just trying to get rid of me, but you're going to have to work harder than that.
Yeah.
And basically calls him out for it. And Sipowicz detects that immediately, too.
Yeah, Sipowicz wonders why Haverill's there all the time, and it bugs him. Because I think Sipowicz knows Haverill's not a cool dude.
Yeah, because they worked together once. Because we find out later in the episode in that important scene, which we won't discuss right now. So that's going on with the Christmas party. Is there a third thing happening?
Yeah, Medavoy is... there's a lot of things happening, Kurt.
Okay, I just needed to get back to my notes.
There's a kid missing.
There's a kid missing?
Yeah, there's a kid that goes missing, and that's Detective Kelly and Sipowicz's main case that they're solving. There's a doctor who lost his kid.
Oh, the ransom?
Yeah, and then Medavoy is... Medavoy and Martinez are interviewing this woman and her son and this man about a...
armed robbery.
In North Carolina that ended up killing a woman.
And in that story, the one that's a Medavoy and Martinez, they're interrogating this guy because they know he committed the crime in North Carolina, which I believe someone got killed. Was it a murder, or was it just an armed robbery?
No, it was a murder.
Armed robbery and murder. And the way they see
Or they hurt somebody, one or the other, because I know it was a bigger deal than just armed robbery.
And basically they have this guy and they're interrogating him, and this woman has her son, so they don't think she's much of a threat. So when they're
she's telling people that she doesn't know the guy.
And she's like really
don't know each other.
And she's supposedly. Really like she's really like soft spoken and like tepid and
she's acting, I mean, this is going to sound sexist, but she's acting like a scared woman, which is helping her, I think, which is helping, making Medavoy Martinez think it's not her.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, she's basically presenting herself in a way that throws suspicion off of her.
Yeah, she's like, I came to New York for more welfare. I don't want to be on welfare, but, like, it's better than Georgia. I want to work. I can be a waitress. You know, shit like that. Like, she's trying to do the woe is me shit and say, I don't know that guy. And then later on, she says, like, yeah, he wanted me to have sex with him or something like that. So she makes it out to be like a real creep. Excuse me.
Yeah, she basically said that the only crime she ever committed was she took $100 from this guy to have sex with him.
Yeah.
And during the interrogation, he at one point is talking to Medavoy and Martinez.
Martinez.
And basically, he imitates the stutter. He makes him under the stutter for Medavoy, and Medavoy, trying to be a badass, says, go ahead and imitate me again. Like, a little bit of Sipowicz came out in Medavoy for, like, half a second.
Question.
Uh-huh.
Would you have imitated him again?
Medavoy? In that situation? Probably.
I would have. I would have been like, okay.
But then they would have hit you.
That's fine.
They would have hit you, you know that?
No, he wouldn't have hit me. Martinez would have hit me. Medavoy's a bitch. Medavoy hitting a fucking cat. What are you talking about? Medavoy can't even fucking... Yeah, anyways. But I would have been like, no problem.
Super dick. Sipowicz and Kelly get a case where they have a missing daughter. And it's a doctor, and it's a ransom situation.
And the doctor doesn't want... The doctor just wants to pay and get his daughter back. He doesn't want any, like... He just wants to get it over with. He doesn't care about the cost. Like, he is... He just wants it done, and he wants his daughter back safe for the holidays.
Which is, you know, a solid thing, and I think we all agree that that's the best thing that a rich guy would think to do. But then Sipowicz... Yeah. Sipowicz then basically says, hey, how many of these have you dealt with? And the guy's like, this isn't a time to be sarcastic, and then Sipowicz just lays some truth on his ass. And it's a good Sipowicz line, because he basically says, like, I've been the one that has to clean up, like, the kids that we find when their parents think they know what to do.
Yeah, which is fair enough. Like, that's his job.
Yeah.
That's the one thing out of this whole show that always, like, got me was when people were like, when the detectives were like, don't do it this way, it's gonna go wrong. People would all be like, well, what do you know about it?
Like,
and
whoa.
It's like, oh, nothing. This is just my job. Like, I do this every... This is something I'm trained for and I'm ready to do every fucking day. But don't worry. You've got it. Like, you're a doctor. You definitely know how to deal with hostages and and negotiational stuff. So, yeah, go ahead.
And that continues... Because I always mix it up with another ransom story. That continues, and they kind of look into... dumping the phone so they know where it's being called from and all that jazz. And that picks up a call from a payphone, and they drive out to try.
But it leads to my favorite line, my favorite Sipowicz line of the episode.
Okay, what is it?
So they call the doctor. They're trying to trace the call. They end up that they can't trace the call because they're calling the doctor on his cell.
Oh no, that's the second call. The first call is from a payphone. The second
call, right.
And they drive out, and Sipowicz gets into an accident because a drunk driver hits their car. And Sipowicz gets out of the car, basically meeting a version of himself, like, a year ago.
Yep.
And he says, like, this guy's loaded, and he fucked up, and now we lose the guy because of him. And the guy's like, well, maybe we'll decide, the cops will decide whose fault it is. And then Sipowicz loses his mind and, like, beats on the dude's car with his feet.
Yeah. And he starts jumping up and down on his car like a child.
It was.
Then they come back, and then they get the other call. They're tracing it, and
I wrote this quote down too. I think
whoever invented cellular phones should be hung by his nuts.
That's a good one.
That was my favorite line from that one. That was pretty good. That's like a dad thing. I feel like dad would have said something like that, like, but with AOL.
Yeah, whoever.
I could see Dad sitting at a desktop computer being like, fucking whoever invented AOL needs to be hung by their nuts, because I don't get it.
But, yeah, that's Dad. Dad would say that about, like, texting. Whoever invented this texting nonsense needs to be strung up by their nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, Dad's a lot like Sipowicz in that way, where it's like, also when you try to show him how to do things, he gets fucking angry and doesn't like it. Mm-hmm. He wants to do it. So then they set up the drop, and they have to get, they also want some drugs now.
Yeah, they want drugs and money.
So they get money and drugs, they follow him to the drop, and they watch this person take it, they're following him, and then they're like, okay, they're gonna take us right to the kid. Well, they don't.
The guy stops to take some of the drugs. Take some of that. Isn't it like heroin?
It's pure heroin.
And pure heroin will fucking kill a man if they're not ready for pure heroin.
Well, the thing is he's probably a junkie, so he's probably going to do more than the normal amount like a first-time user would, or someone who's using pure heroin would. So he's probably, or pure cocaine, so he's probably going to do a whole bunch, and they're nervous, like, oh shit, if he does more than the norm, he's going to kill himself. So they have to arrest him early.
And Sibwood says, my favorite line of the episode, when they drag this guy who's about to take heroin, and then they slam him on the car. And he said, now you listen careful now. You got nothing. You got no family, you got no friends, and you got no rights. All you got left is your life, and I'll take it for that from you right here on this spot. So you got one shot. And I was like, oh shit. That's so cold. It was like a Quentin Tarantino movie out of nowhere.
He does that, though. He kind of flips his switch real quick.
But it also involves a kid, and they're worried about the kid. When kids are involved, yeah. Sipowicz don't play.
Yeah, when kids are involved, Sipowicz definitely freaks out. So Martinez and Medavoy are still talking to that lady. She's still spinning a story. They basically have said, we're going to arrest this man. And Medavoy and Martinez have a real soft spot for the lady and the boy. And they're like, we don't want him to spend the night in civil jail. Can we get him a hotel for the time being? Mm-hmm. Like maybe one or two nights they can stay there until they're on their feet. But they don't deserve to be in civil jail. The two cases wrap themselves up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
They're not episodes. They're more of like a half episode. Because they end up talking to the guy. They find out where the little girl is. So Kelly and Sipowicz go to this house. And they raid the house. And they end up finding the little girl and arresting like three or four other people. They end up getting the kid home in time. But instead of coming home with Kelly, Sipowicz makes a stop.
Yeah. The most important scene, kind of the show. Well, there's also another scene where Sipowicz tries to basically relate to Fancy and say, like, yeah, he's just trying to muscle you out of your job, but he can't do it. And then Fancy basically goes, I can take care of it. Just leave me alone.
Yeah, he pretty much is like, don't leave me alone. Leave me alone. I got it. Which is kind of weird.
So then Sipowicz meets up with Hanlon.
Havril.
It's not going to happen. His name is going to be wrong every single time. Havril, and he meets up with him in the car and basically says, hey, so you remember that one thing you did that was kind of shady years ago when we were both patrolmen? Or like
the DeSico hit.
The DeSico hit? He's like, I will bring that back up again if you continue to fuck with Fancy.
Quick question. So basically what I get is that at one point Havril was working this guy for like info or something. And then all of a sudden this guy got shot and killed or murdered or something in a diner with this guy. And it seemed like Sipowicz, they lied about there being a witness. Because Sipowicz mentioned something like, oh, there's you and 19 other police departments that are trying to find this one witness who had salad with DeSico's brains or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I took that as them saying they made up a witness. Havril was just sitting with the guy eating, and then all of a sudden he was shot and killed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Havril killed him?
That's what I thought was happening. I thought Havril killed him, and then because he had a convenient way to cover it up, he just did.
Okay.
And I think
That's what I thought too, and that's what drove home the point to me that Havril's a douche.
And I think Sipowicz knows the truth because Sipowicz is just a better detective than everybody else. Sipowicz is basically Superman of detectives in this show. Even when the case is
Batman.
Well, no, because Smits is Batman.
He's the greatest. No, Sipowicz is Batman because he's the greatest detective of all time.
Okay, well then they share the Batman roles because he maybe...
Sipowicz is Superman. Sipowicz is Superman because of his jawline and how much bigger he is.
You mean Smits is Superman?
Smits, yeah. Jimmy Smits is Superman. Sorry.
I don't know. Because Jimmy Smits pulls some Batman shit in the show.
Yeah, but Jimmy Smits is like the all-American boy, the pretty guy. Everybody loves him. That's Superman. Oh, Batman's not like that. Batman's like, he's got his demons he's fighting with. He stays in the shadows. He doesn't, well, I mean, Sipowicz hurts people, but he has rules that he follows. That's more Sipowicz than it is Jimmy Smits.
All right, we'll discuss that more when we get to their partnership, because we still got Kelly in the mix.
Yeah, we still got Ginger fucking in the mix. And Lakowski's in this episode randomly.
Well, she's only in there just to remind us that she exists in this universe, I think.
And that she's still working for the mob. But you can tell that when she's fucking meeting with the mob to get her, like, extra check or whatever, or her extra pay, you can kind of tell that she's losing it.
You can also tell that that scene is setting up that something's going to happen in their organization, because some people are unhappy. Like, the guy's kind of a dick.
Yeah, they're pissed that he doesn't pay like the old guy used to. That's what they kept saying.
So you can tell, like, that's going to lead to something, and that Lakowski is just kind of stuck in it and losing it in her own way.
She's slowly losing her mind, I feel like.
But to continue on with that Sipowicz stuff, Sipowicz talks to that guy. That leads to Haverhill coming into Fancy's office and basically going like, why'd you send him to me? Like, why? This is what
you send Aaron Boy.
You send your Aaron Boy and this and that. And he's even said to Sipowicz at the end of their conversation, Haverhill did, he said, so what's the deal? He let you drink in the bathroom? And then Sipowicz said,
this is a good line too. Let's not argue. Let's not fight.
Let's not quarrel. Let's not quarrel, huh? It's the holidays.
That's a good one.
And then basically James goes, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't send anybody. And then so now James knows that he did it. And now
James who?
We Fancy.
Call him Fancy. We don't call him James.
Fancy. Is his first name James?
No, I don't. It's Arthur.
God, I was hoping I got it from there. So he basically talks to Sipowicz as Sipowicz is getting out of his Santa clothes.
Hi, I'm Kirk, and I'm rewatching all this episode. I'm rewatching all the episodes of the show I've already watched once, and I don't know any of the characters' names. I just call them by their ethnicities. I got black guy, Mexican guy. I got two whiteys and a ginger.
I don't know what you've done to your
mic. Two gingers. We got two gingers.
I don't know what you've done, but the way you're sitting now, you can barely hear you out of your microphone.
Is this better?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so Haverhill confronts Fancy, says like, hey, did you send your bitch to come get on me?
Mm-hmm.
And Fancy's like, no, I don't even know what you're talking about. I would have never sent Sipowicz. And then he's like, well, unpack your bags. And Fancy delivers one of the best lines where he goes, I have no idea what you're talking about. And my bags were never packed.
Mm-hmm. Basically like,
boom!
Fuck you.
He's a proud black man, not afraid of the whitey.
And then, like, to wrap up that whole storyline, James. I called him James again. It's Fancy. Why do I keep doing that? It's Arthur. It's I think the actor's name is James McDaniel.
Yeah, but his name is Arthur.
It's passable. I'm now okay. Mr. Fancy has a conversation with Sipowicz when Sipowicz is getting out of his Santa gear and said, like, I never asked you to do that. And he's like, no, I didn't do that because of, like, you asked me. And he's like, well, I don't owe you anything. And he's like, yeah, you don't.
Like, yeah, they get into, like, fight, which is weird.
They get into a fight brought out of complete miscommunication.
Fancy, okay, so this is where I see that, like, Fancy is wrong, because Fancy goes in there hot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think Fancy goes in there ready to argue and is, like, angry instead of thinking of a positive thing. So I think Fancy starts the shit this time, but then he apologizes and is like, yeah, every time we talk, we always blow up.
And the other story with the lady and the guy from the South, Abundando is playing with a kid to keep his mind off of what's going on, and then it seems like these people are going to get a hotel, and then I guess BCI checks out on the woman, and it turns out that they're married, her and this guy, and
she's... Yeah, because the guy gave a fake name, so they ran his prints, and they end up getting his real last name.
And they find out that they're married, and that they both do violent crimes all the time. So they go like, okay, well then we're going to arrest her, but we got to be cool about it. But she gets tipped off by how they walk and how they look after talking to each other. And she grabs Abundando and some scissors, and we got ourselves a standoff.
Yeah, and so there's a standoff, and then, like, Medavoy Martinez, as she's staring at Medavoy Martinez, and then behind her, Sipowicz opens a door and pulls out a gun, and basically is like, I'll blow your head off, so she turns around, and then when she does that, Medavoy jumps off the desk and, like, tackles her, which seemed unnecessary. It seems like he could have just ran at her and grabbed her. He didn't have to jump off the table.
He wanted to pull some sweet ass Keanu Reeves Matrix shit on her, dude.
So there's something that happens when they're wrestling her to the ground. That happens a lot with Sipowicz, and this is the beginning of it. And I want you to kind of like keep this in your mind when you're watching.
New segment of the show. Keep it in mind.
Okay, so whenever there's like a group of cops doing something, Sipowicz is always the guy yelling out what to do, but he's not doing it. So, like, when they tackle the girl, they're like, he's like, grab the scissors, put her on the ground, cuff her, and then once everyone does everything, he goes, okay, now give her to me, and he, like, grabs her and takes her, like, he did all the work, but he does that a lot. Like, if you watch it, whether in group settings, they'll be, like, tackling someone, he'll be like, Tackle him, put your arms around him, arrest him, and then, like, he's just yelling out orders, but not really doing those orders, which is kind of funny to me, because it just made me laugh.
Kyle, he just exudes leadership. That's the problem. And leaders don't necessarily do the job, sometimes they just, you know, they delegate, and that's what Sipowicz does. It's Sipowicz, it's Andy, the delegators. Sipowicz.
And so then, the way we end it is, we meet Kelly's mom.
Yeah, pretty depressing. Pretty horrible way to end a Christmas show.
And do you think she has Alzheimer's, or is she just old?
She has Alzheimer's, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. And then you kind of learn that, like, so she talks to Kelly and is like explains this whole story to him, but she thinks that Kelly is her husband.
And his father.
Yeah, and his father, so she's telling him how to, like, he needs to, like, hang out with the boy more, and you find out in earlier shows that Kelly's father died in on the job.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of brings back, like, drives home this point that, like, Kelly's dad worked a lot and, like, would only see him at nights and stuff and blah, 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 and that, like, Kelly's dad loved him, but he never really got a chance to, like, be a dad to him. You know,
it also makes you feel really bad for the protagonist of the show, because you find out, oh, his mom, like, doesn't even know who he is half the time she's speaking to him.
Yeah, because he turns around to, like, close the door, he turns back around, and she's like, oh, Johnny, you didn't have to come all the way this way for Christmas. And it's like, oh, shit, like, that's some fucked up stuff.
So it was pretty much, because the episode is a Christmas episode where it's like, everybody wins. They even have, like, a real Disney movie runner where, like, all the rodents are gone because of this cat, and we just got a new rabbit. And then the rabbit gets eaten by the cat. That's one of the funniest things, because Medavoy is always given the anti-cool lines. Like, the lines that immediately make you go, well, this guy's not cool. Like, he's the dingus of the crew. And in this one, he saves Abundando, and there's already been some sparks flying because of the ice skating. And she's like, oh, thanks, Gregory. And he goes, I have to go to a pet store.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so as annoying as Greg is, I still feel bad for him, because he's just putting a lot of work into this, and he's kind of getting shafted. Like, Andy doesn't want to be the fucking
Santa Claus.
He won't go pick it up when he needs to, like, and so I kind of feel bad for Medavoy.
He's running all over the place to get, like, a rabbit for the kids, and then when he does show up, because Sipowicz eventually does play Santa, and he's talking to the kids, he eventually shows up with the rabbit, and then Sipowicz is like, look what Santa's helper finally brought, and it's like, you can't get on his dick if you didn't give a shit about this until just now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
Yeah, he really got shat on this episode. There's more Costas. There's more ADA Sylvia Costas in this.
Well, it's really short. She's just kind of there to talk to Andy, and Andy basically say, like, no, I don't want to hang out with you. Because one of the things that we didn't really talk about was that Andy's not looking forward to spending the holidays because he's afraid he's going to do something stupid. And he's afraid he's going to... I think he's afraid he's going to relapse. And he's going to go look for a whore or drink more. So when Sylvia wants to hang out with him, he's kind of, like, abrupt and like, no, I don't want to hang out. Which is really weird because he could have just said, like, oh, I'm sorry, I have something to do. I have plans already. I can't make it. You know, he didn't have to be so... I don't know. It was just weird.
Yeah, he basically... As a recovering alcoholic, but he's not going through the normal steps yet.
Yeah.
He's basically saying, like, I'm not drinking anymore, but the holidays is when I would really tie one on because it's the most sad. I don't have my wife anymore. I don't have my kids. So this is the time I get really, really drunk. And I get so drunk I don't even know where I am. And I look for hookers and I go to the wrong rooms and shit like that. So when Sylvia's like, hey, why don't you have a good time with me tonight? He's like, no, because I might fuck that up, and I don't want to fuck up anything with you or my life by accidentally tying one on for the holidays.
Yeah, and I mean, I get that. Like, he hasn't, like you said, he hasn't properly gone through the right channels to battle his alcoholism, but I don't know.
He doesn't want to relapse, so he's trying to just knock out complete aspects of life, which isn't going to work. You can't just not celebrate Christmas anymore because people tend to drink around Christmas. Like, that won't work. It's a good developmental episode for Sipowicz. And I think it also shows that Sipowicz and Fancy have each other's backs, which is kind of a runner through the whole season, at least so far, where, like, there's a talk of, can he really regain trust of Fancy and vice versa after being suspended and all that jazz.
But they get along in a weird way. Like, it's really weird.
Well, yeah, I think it's because Sipowicz recognizes that Fancy's a good cop and a good guy. And I think Fancy realizes the same in Sipowicz. It's just the drinking really tore him apart. But once that's out of the way and they can be themselves, they can get work done.
There's two things that were said in this episode that I want to get your take on.
All right.
So the first one is when Metavoy's asking about Andy being Santa. He's like, Metavoy, why do I got to be Santa? And Metavoy nonchalantly says, well, Stillwell psychoed out, so he can't be Santa anymore. Now, if you remember from later, from earlier episodes, Stillwell was the guy who kind of had like a mental breakdown.
Yeah.
And they put him on the rubber gun squad.
I forgot that was the same name of the guy until just now.
And Metavoy just kind of makes he went crazy, fuck it, moving on. Like, that was kind of weird to me.
Well, I think I can accept that. I can accept that from Metavoy at this point because he's running around, he's frustrated, he's trying to get this stupid Christmas party off the ground and no one else cares because they're all cops. This is how little people care. That cop brings up the cat that eats mice. Something that was a runner in an earlier episode. Like, there are rodents. And the show's a lot... You know what? I know why I like the show. It's a lot like Community. There's a lot of runners throughout the season that if you're you have a keen eye, you'll catch. Like the Stillwell thing. No, I'm just kidding. But the Stillwell thing, I think what he's saying is like, look, Andy, we've talked about this. Like, you have to be Santa Claus. You're the only bigger guy that is actually still in the precinct. You're also the oldest. It's kind of like your turn, and it's kind of, it might even be like an honor thing. Like, some people might like, oh, I get to be Santa Claus this year to the kids. He's just the only guy that's like, do I have to be Santa Claus this year? Like, really?
Okay.
But that Stillwell thing, it's really fucked up that he said that. I thought that immediately when I heard it, because it was like, what he should have said was, well, Stillwell had like his unfortunate accident. But they're also, like, old-school New York cops. Like, they don't give a fuck. Like, they're just insensitive sometimes, I think.
Yeah, but, like, it's just the... I don't know. It was just fucked up.
What was the other thing?
He said, hey, Metavoy, how come I gotta be Santa Claus? Well, Stitwell psychoed out, and Walker's got jaundice. No offense, but you're the fattest guy in the squad. It's when they were going into the house, and they're coming out, it's all over with, and Sipowicz is talking to that sergeant. he's like, how did it go for you? He's like, oh, it went okay. He goes, you know, we have three males who suffered necessary injuries from unnecessary falls or something like that.
Yeah.
Or necessary falls. Do you think that would fly today on TV? That's one of those things. Like, do you think it would fly?
No, that would not fly on TV. Segment, would this happen on TV now? No. No, it wouldn't. Because there's so much hot button pressing about cops being too aggressive. Which, I mean, thanks to everybody having little cameras in their phones, I think we're figuring out that that's kind of true. Like, I mean, we joke about it all the time in text message. I've been watching Reno 911, and there's an episode where two characters, like, end up accidentally having weed on a stakeout, and then they get into their characters, and then they have, like, a conversation. They're like, man, why would we ever stop doing this? Like, let's quit our jobs, and, like, let's travel the world with these women. And then they see the drug dealer they're supposed to catch, and they pull out their guns and start shooting at him. And then they go, well, who are we kidding? We'll always want to be cops. And then they high-five and run out.
Sheriff's Department! Sheriff's Department!
That show's great. If you guys aren't watching Reno 911 as well, it's on Hulu. If you don't have Amazon, but you have Hulu, check out Reno 911. It's amazing. Yeah, I mean, no, it wouldn't fly at all. Like, shit like that wouldn't fly. Even the Psycho line, like, wouldn't really fly. Like, there'd be angry bloggers. There'd be tumblers about how fucked up that line was.
Yeah, it was funny, though. It just made me laugh.
NYPD Blue does not hold up to blogger culture, where everybody gets upset at shit. Can you believe Sipowicz this episode called somebody this? Be like, yeah. Because he's older, and...
Yeah, and it's that time, and yeah.
Also, did you see him, win the entire episode? And be awesome, and not be malicious? But yeah.
And be funny, and be witty, and have depth. You know, all that cool shit.
Also, one of his best friends is Smits, and he's not fully white. We can tell.
That's one thing when I was watching NYPD Blue, Maria mentioned. Maria was talking about how ethnically and racially, like, ambiguous Jimmy Smits is.
Yeah, you can't tell what that guy is.
And she's like, what does he play in the show? We'll get to this later, and you find out he's French-Portuguese.
Which is like, no. Really?
He could be.
It doesn't make sense, really, though. French-Portuguese?
Yeah.
He looks Hispanic.
French-Portuguese.
Well, it's fine. I mean, I don't care either way, but it's...
You know, like, the Portuguese did, you know, migrate to South America and, like, help populate that area, so, like, that's why there's a lot of Portuguese, Brazilians speak Portuguese.
Well, even his... I'm talking about even his facial structure is, like, I don't know, it doesn't seem French/Portuguese to me. He doesn't...
What are you talking about? His facial structure is, like, super...
To me, he looks like...
Oh, yeah, like, he has, like, Superman bone structure in his face where it's, like, that defined jawline and shit. That's super...
I thought that would be, like, Greek.
No.
Okay, well, I don't know. Kyle, I'm not racist. I don't understand these things. I just didn't see him as French-Portuguese. I just didn't. It didn't make sense to me. But that's fine. It's allowed. I'm allowed to say those things, I think.
Yeah, that's fine.
Any final thoughts about the episode? Is there anything we missed?
No, it was a cool episode. It's just a Christmas episode.
Oh, it does have one important thing in it. Fancy gives James Martinez a gold shield.
He becomes a detective. That's right. I have that written down. I ignored it.
I had it written down too, and I just read it. During the Christmas party, he hands him a gift, and Martinez is like, "Oh, I feel bad. I didn't get you anything." And he goes, no, just open it. And it turns out he's a detective, and he's going to be a part of the team now. Which is cool, because he's been doing all of fucking Kelly's work. So, it'd be nice if he gets some goddamn credit for it, at least.
Yeah, he's been a detective for, like, I don't know, episode one? So
he's been doing detective work this whole time, so he might as well be a detective.
You might as well pay him and give him the money, yeah.
So, that's important. He becomes a detective, gets on the team, high-flying James Martinez. NYPD Blue Balls, it's available on AshBrothersPodcast.com and iTunes. And you know what now, Kyle? It's on Stitcher. Just did the application, and it's on today. So you can go to Stitcher, which is friendly to all devices, and listen to it. Also, I'm at Kirk Has Glasses. The show is at Asher Bros Pod if you're interested with Twitter. A lot of you aren't. Some of you are. We got some cool people we talk to occasionally. Kyle, do you have anything to recommend or say?
I've been watching House.
Is that good?
On season four? Season five. I don't know. Like, that's something we should probably discuss on the Astro Brother podcast.
House?
On, like, a regular episode. Because the first three seasons are really good, but how many, like, the question is how many times can you watch an asshole solve, like, these medical mysteries in the last minute? You know what I mean? They're written well and stuff, and it's funny, and he's super funny as House. He's basically, like, the smarter Andy Sipowicz.
Mm-hmm.
Where he says, like, so there's this one episode, real quick. I'll tell you later, but yeah, Watch House. It's pretty good. It's got some good acting. Olivia Wilde in her younger days is on it later on. Just watch it for that.
Yeah, that's a good enough reason.
Yeah, I'll watch it for Olivia Wilde. And then what's her name? Jennifer Morrison. She's in she's now in that Once Upon a Time, or was in Once Upon a Time. Well, anyways, look her up. You just watch it for those two.
Alrighty. Later, everybody.